Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to another Get to Know Grace episode. I'm Pastor Rachel, and today I am joined by the fantastic Lena Johnson, who is here to tell us a little bit about God's presence in your life, Lena, a little bit about who you are and how you found Grace Lutheran and everything in between. And I'm so excited. So thank you so much for being here and being a part.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're also testing out something new. So listeners, you won't know this because you're listening in, and I hope that all works out, but we're testing out some Zoom recording to try and make that work. So I hope this works. I can't imagine why it wouldn't. And thanks everyone for the magic of the internet and for the flexibility that this offers for all of us in the midst of this weirdness that we're in.
Well, I think the worst thing that happens is we get to do this twice.
There we go. That's the worst case scenario. That's not a bad case scenario. I like that one. All right, let's open with a word of prayer and we'll jump in. Good and gracious God, thank you for this time together, this time to be community in this fun and wacky new way, to be your people in your world. Prepare all of us listening, all of us participating, to be open, to be receptive, to be ready to listen to all that Lena has to share with us this evening, this time, this moment that we gather together. Be with us all as we witness your presence in Lena's good life. Be with us all as we share in community creating. All this and so much more, we pray in your holy name, trusting in you and trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, Lena, let's jump into it. So you're Lena Johnson. What would you like the church, the world, the greater Grace Lutheran community to know about who you are?
I live in West Kent, so not too far away from the church. I came to Washington in 2005 to come and stay for 1 year. And I've never left. So I guess that says a little bit about me. I don't make concrete plans, I guess. A little bit about me. So I live with my husband, Aaron, and our two kids, Alden and Otis. Alden is age 9 and Otis is age 5. We have one crazy dog and a house that sometimes is just a little chaotic over the last year. At one point, three of the four of us were teaching and working and learning all here. So it was kind of an interesting experience having all three of us in different rooms. We learned a lot about internet bandwidth this last year. So that was that's kind of a little bit about us. We really like to get out. So we did buy a little pandemic camper. So we've been able to tour mostly the Pacific Northwest and Washington. We did get to Montana this summer. So we like to do that, like to get out, go camping. I'm a social work supervisor. I work in a kind of an out of the box clinical program for mostly Medicare population with chronic illness, numerous chronic illnesses. So it has definitely been an interesting year for us, given that most of my patients were extremely high risk, if not all of them high risk, to become very ill with COVID. So definitely a little bit different perspective from me and how, you know, how my family then reacts to our, you know, our own personal perception of safety or in the last year or two. So many folks haven't had, you know, the pleasure of seeing us because we've been on YouTube, celebrating and coming together in that venue.
Yeah. Yeah. I think even, I can only remember once that we got together for dinner before COVID, and that feels like lives ago.
It was like seconds before COVID too.
Yeah.
Because I know it was after President's Day in February 2020, because we had gone on a trip, and then I think had met with you afterwards.
That's right.
It was right at the last second. Yes.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That was so, and I feel like since then, I've like maybe seen you once or twice at like drive-thrus that we've done where things were like distanced. Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. So, you know, everyone just has their own way of like navigating this. And so that's been ours is, you know, there's really, you know, some positive things about it. There's some more challenging ones. I am definitely an extrovert. And so, so for me to stay home more sometimes, we just like to go down to the marina, and it gives me kind of a little bit of wide open space, which kind of helps me fill back up a little bit from being in my home too much. I don't know. I'm not sure what else to say about that one.
I love it.
I did grow up in Minnesota, and I spent some time traveling before I landed here. But so my most of my experiences, Minnesota and Washington.
Sure. Yeah. I remember, it was only like a month into COVID that people started sharing the memes of like, check in on your extroverts because they're not doing great because they all need like hugs and time together.
Yes. Like all of that. I think like not tackling people I know with hugs is like the most restraint I can show. I did side hug one person in the office, and then I felt bad about it afterwards, but there was no stopping it. There was no stopping it at that point.
Right there with you. Like every Sunday, it's like a active holding my hands down, holding myself in. I'm like, we're not there yet. But once we are, church,
you know, hug fest.
Yeah.
Like we can go put like all the extroverts in one room, and they can just like go hug it out for a little bit and talk profusely. But I think that's the hardest thing right now is like not over talking, which is, you know, a challenge for me anyways, but not having any social stimulation. And then the other hilarious thing is like trying to go out in public with a 5-year-old who he's 5 and a half now, but like, he turned 4. He was our first, you know, pandemic birthday, but we still had a birthday party at that point, but we just didn't blow out candles because that felt wrong. So he turned 4 March 2nd of 2020. So, you know, like the idea of like going to Target and Fred Meyer and anywhere, Costco, and like the social norms involved are just like, they're not there. So if y'all see kids running amok in a store, it's because they just haven't had the experience. And it's a lot easier to teach over time how to act in the store as they grow, as opposed to like just not doing it for a year and a half. So Otis is always like wanting to put everything in the cart in Costco. Like, I mean, and so it's like glass bottles, and he's like tossing it in the cart. And I'm like, no, things break. So just give lots of grace to kids running amok in stores.
It's
not our fault.
Grace and space for parents and everyone involved with the raising of all of us. Absolutely. Well, tell us about how you first found Grace Lutheran and or what keeps you coming back.
Yeah, so we had been involved in some faith communities, and we lived in Seattle for a short 2 years, and I've probably been to at least 6 or 8 of the Lutheran churches in the Seattle area trying to find just the right fit. You know, every church has its own kind of flavor, I guess. And so, you know, it's all about finding the community that you can be a part of. And so, you know, what we were really searching for was, like when we had kids, things just changed a little bit. And so trying to, kind of find a place where we and our kids could both fit in. And so, it was oddly, my hairstylist's daughter, I think, had gone to the preschool. And so she had suggested when I had said something, she's like, well, why don't you just try Grace, which she does not go to. So it was like this roundabout like referral. And I'd actually been to Grace once for a funeral. So I'd been there before. Yeah. And so that's kind of how we tried it out. And, you know, when we showed up, we felt fairly welcomed, and we would usually go to the early service. So there's not as many kids there. There's kids mm-hmm. there, but not as many. And so people were just so kind and patient, mm-hmm. as, you know, one of my children, who shall remain nameless, is a rule follower, and the other one is a purposeful rule breaker. And so sometimes one of them can get a little rowdy. So there was a lot of patience and love and kindness that was spread even with a child. And I'll tell this story and you can edit it out if you want. But there was one time one of my children was going through potty training. We came back and I thought I snuck in at the right time, but then it turned out I snuck in at a prayer, and the child announced that he had gone potty in complete silence. And I about died on the spot. Like, it was, we were still fairly new. So we survived that and we kept coming back. So, but I'm sure everyone was, you know, very proud of him for his accomplishments.
He was just, you know, he needed the rest of the church to know to pray in Thanksgiving for.
Yes, there we go.
We're celebrating in community.
There we are. We are celebrating in community. And I hope someone listening remembers that and smiles. And so then they can, I really do hope to try to take joy. I think one of the worst things that happens is like if you're out somewhere and you trip and fall and it's very fantastic and there's no one there to like laugh with you. Like, yes. I know some people would rather like fall in shame by themselves, but I think I'd rather have an audience with me. And so I can like, you know, get up and do the yes. gymnastics, like, you know, celebration of a good flip after I'm done. But
so you can have a couple people with like scorecards.
Yes. That would be great. Yeah, I mean, awesome. We should rate our falls, rate our trips. Celebrate.
I'm gonna walk around with like note cards in my pocket now with one.
There you go. Just hold on. Well, and I do tend to be not clumsy, not accident prone. I guess I'm willing to step out of my comfort zone. So I am not afraid of falling. And so, you know, if we go like on a community hike or something, like you could just count that I'll probably trip and biff it at least once. So there's that.
Better to fall with some grace and intention and less likely to hurt yourself than to fall like tense and then definitely break an arm.
There you go. There you go.
Gosh. I love that story so much. And I hope that the prayer story comes out during one of your children's graduations or confirmations or, you know, some other point in time when it's,
you know, that particular child has so many that we might have to write a book. So unnamed child.
You write that book. I will buy that book and I will come and have it signed by your entire family. Because I bet that book would be amazing. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh, too good. Well, thank goodness you keep coming back because this has been phenomenal so far. We're not even done. So maybe tell us about a time when listeners of the show. Wow, I sound like I'm on NPR or PBS or something. Fancy. Listeners will know that part of the reason of the name of this podcast is we're getting to know Grace Lutheran, but we're also getting to know God's grace through the experience, the lived experience of the people who were on the show. So tell us about a time when God's grace made a big difference in your life, or even looking retrospectively back at it, a time when you were like, wow, that was really a grace-filled moment. Take that however you want.
Well, before we go this serious, since you made a crack about NPR, I do wonder if we could like make some version of like the Nina Totten bag, but with like the pastor's autumn. You can all have your like your tote with your face right on there. So just put that in the capital funds.
We could get some swag, some RGLC swag.
Yeah. Love a little Martin Luther bag.
Yeah.
And if you want to go more contemporary, we could do Bonhoeffer.
Oh. So many quote ideas.
I know. Well, so back onto the more serious subject, I think, I really think back and I would like to think that it was just a few years ago, but it apparently is more than that. But I think back to my college days, because I think when you grow up in a small kind of rural America, and then you go out and you're open and willing to have like new experiences, I think there's different ways in which your life kind of gets a little shaken up. Mm-hmm. And so I think kind of back to those days, because although I have changed a lot, I think that there's like some guiding principles. I attended a training or seminar today on having purpose in your life. And I was thinking about this conversation as I was attending that training, because, you know, in the end, like that's kind of what it's about is having purpose. And so I think you really kind of figure out a lot about yourself when you're in my position and have the opportunity to go to a four-year institution. I actually transferred. I went from a small state school, that wasn't a good fit for an extrovert. And then I went to Luther College. For those of you in the Midwest, you might have heard of Luther College, great choral program. I don't sing, but you know, similar to PLU, a little bit smaller, it's a college, not a university, about 2,200 students, but really a place to kind of just be challenged and to grow. And, you know, I had all these really remarkable ideas that were part of who I was and these experiences, and the faith community that I was involved with in my first church just really didn't like the what I was being taught and mentored and experiencing as part of that group just really didn't align with like the way I was experiencing the world and the way that I was being called. And again, back to my original, probably the first thing I said is I'm not really cemented in any plans, and my college journey is probably number one example for that. But I did major in religion. Mm-hmm. I had about 15 half minors, so the college does not count that as a minor. So it was really about like kind of figuring out like how, when I'm experiencing life one way, like how is it that I'm being taught that these other truths exist? And so there was a lot of tears, mm-hmm. a lot of heartbreak, you know, re-identifying myself and really kind of like being comfortable with who I am. Mm-hmm. And then just kind of growing through that. And I think just like having the community that I had and the ability to be part of that faith group, mm-hmm. but also like just a for Iowa, a fairly diverse community. Mm-hmm. And so I think that really changed who I was. And I felt like, you know, God's, oh, hold on 1 second.
All good.
Okay. We're pausing here. Yeah. Okay. I had to do an affirmation here real quick. So college really kind of changed me and how I experienced the world and how faith is more than just dogma and rules and, kind of this closed group. And so it really just helped me, you know, I became involved in like a peace community. Actually was what my plan was, is to actually, go spend, I did my own thing for a little bit after mm-hmm. college. And then I went to here, to do AmeriCorps. So, full-time volunteering. And then I was going to go down to Berkeley. I heard you're a fan. Yep. And I was going to do the Theological Union, and I was going to do interfaith peace studies. And so like, this is the biggest representation of me in college, right? Is really wanting to be involved in the world and like spreading God's grace, not just through like sermons, not just through, you know, I worked at summer camp, like Lutheran summer camp. It was more than that. It was about experiencing this grace and sharing it and finding peace with other communities within our own community, within our world. You know, if you think about the early 2000s, you know, my senior year, we saw Columbine in high school. And then we, 2001, you know, we saw the attack on the Twin Towers and the preceding wars and conflict. And so like, I really was an element of that, but it was God's like hand that helped me kind of through those like difficult times. Like I went from my small community where everybody knew everybody in good and bad ways, and then had to like kind of think of myself as a global citizen and how do I participate in that? And so like, you know, some people are like, probably listening right now, like, well, girl, you're overthinking all this. but that's part of who I am. And we need those big thinkers, and we need the community thinkers. And so like, when I've kind of just like let go and like let life take me where I was, I actually resisted becoming a social worker for so long because I really didn't know what they did. And then I actually planned to work with kids, and then that was not something that ever materialized. And then I worked in the hospital, and there was a lot of like brokenness in that system. And so I'm very happy where I am. And throughout this whole rambling story, I guess the point is that like, it's the grace that God gives me and models to me that I give to other people, or model to other people. I mean, I don't give grace, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just that experience. And it just kind of came from like this place where I had a place where I could kind of work out all these big ideas and think, and then let that transform into what I consider my more practical version of my life, where I have a house and bills, and, you know, the cars break down, you know, or you get a flat tire, right? Like, this is the practical life, and the practicality of, you know, taking a potty break in the middle of church and having the results advertised. So I think that like, just kind of like living in that moment, I was also in this journey. I was part of the Lutheran student movement and I was in leadership there. And we would always talk about sin boldly. Right. Mm-hmm. And so Martin Luther said sin boldly. And so when I think of that, I love that because I feel like that represents my life. And I'm not going to be able to say the quote word for word. Do you know the rest of the quote? Can you help me out on that? Or it's,
oh gosh.
Okay. Well, we're going to do we're going to do a little Googling here because I can paraphrase it, but I would like to say it in its entirety. And this is where like the dead air doesn't work well. Right. So I'm like, just going to chatter here.
Oh my gosh.
But love God more boldly or something like that.
Be a sinner and sin boldly, but believe and rejoice in Christ even more boldly.
Yes. And so the way that speaks to me, you know, because I'm a few years out of my theology days, but in my practical life with that, how that speaks to me is like, there's not ever like, sometimes there's a lot of gray. We live in black and white, but there's a lot of gray. And so when you're in that gray, you just have to kind of like take a deep breath, feel like, what is the thing I think is most right in this situation? And then just go with it. And we know that we're going to mess up, and we know that we're going to misspeak and maybe say something that like, I didn't know was offensive, and I have to be open to that education. Right. And respond when someone gives me feedback, and to be listen to their experience. But that like, if you go with a lens of love and you go through this life with a lens of grace, then you're going to just have your cup filled up. Right. Yeah. And that's kind of how I feel. And I know as Lutherans, we are so careful about works, right? Like we don't do works for grace. But on the other hand, like when I do my work every day, we have a motto at my office, my company, and it's do what's right. So even if it is not what's the most economically profitable thing for the company or the thing that's going to save us the most money or whatever, like in the end, like if what's right for the patient and what's right for our company doesn't line up, then we're going to go with what's right for the patient. And so that's kind of like, I mean, I don't live this way because that's my company's motto. I'm gravitated to that company because that's what my motto is. And I think that like all those experiences I had during those developing years is what helped me to kind of live through that today. Have I messed up probably a million times today alone, right? Like, yeah. have I done everything right in the last 2 years? No. You know, right. My husband so succinctly put it that there's nothing we experienced as kids, as teenagers, looking at our models or our parents or our teachers or mentors or whoever that important person was in your life. There's nothing that was done that helps us figure out how to make good choices as parents in a pandemic. Like, we're writing this on our own. Yeah. And so as we write that, like, we just really have to like give ourselves grace. And, you know, the choices that I've made in partnership with my husband, for our kids, that doesn't mean that that's the ultimate right thing to do. Right. And that like a choice that someone else has made that maybe I perceive to be more risky, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's the wrong thing to do either. And I think that that's been the hardest thing over the last 2 years is like really giving myself grace that like sometimes the best you can do is just like, that's all it is. And that's okay. Like, it's okay to just do the best that you can do. And so I love cooking. So Pastor Rachel, you came over once.
Yes.
And when people come over, it's like, I have to be like, okay, what foods do you not like? Like, I need you seriously to tell me. And then like, I make this probably too much food. So then I proceed to make too much food. And then I want to hear like how the food tasted, like how you experienced it. If you didn't like it, right? Like, that's okay. Yeah. And so, so that's kind of, gosh, where was I going to go with this? But this is like how I am, right? Like, as I want to share and I want to participate. And it's been hard to not share, to not participate. So like one of the happiest things that happened is when we really knew that like COVID wasn't passing through like food, right? So I could like slip someone some food. I have, I think 50 jars of jam in my garage right now. So anyone listening to this, you know, just hit me up and I can get you some jam.
I can personally attest that you are an incredible jam maker, by the way. We went through that strawberry jam in like a heartbeat. It was
That was this year's jam. So, So anyways, in conclusion of this, this is how my brain works, everyone. In conclusion, like, I think that my grace journey has just really helped me over the last 2 years. And have I had my down days? Oh, certainly. Oh, certainly. Have I gotten lost in like TikTok rants or, you know, mass, you know, reading of like articles on COVID and like what's safe and what's not? Oh, yes. Yeah. Like, I'm like not daily. At all saying that I have done everything right.
Right.
Hold on 1 second. We got a mommy alert. So, and for instance, right now, my kids are on Kindles, which is a limited supply object here.
Yeah.
And so sometimes we just do what we do to get along through the day.
You got to do what you got to do.
You got to do it.
I think that's the biggest learning for all of us, but it's certainly one that, I've been learning a lot too, is the sort of like, you got to just do what's right in that moment. And it's hard to know what's right because like you're saying, we don't have that background of having lived through it when we were kids ourselves. So we now know how to do it. It's like, we don't have that. And and so instead it's just what is the best of the worst of all of this that I can do today?
Yeah.
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 how, because I've been thinking about this a lot in terms of church. Like, I don't have, like, I have pastors in my family, and I have certainly many mentors and people, including Pastor Chad and Pastor John and all these wonderful people who I would, in a quote unquote normal world, say, hey, how do you do this? And how did you mm-hmm. like survive this? And how did you grow in this instance? And mm-hmm. I have so coveted and treasured those stories from my own grandfather, who's a retired pastor. And now, like, I talk with my papa all the time about, like, what it means to be a pastor. And there are still some similarities, but at the same time, I'm like, we are pastoring in two different worlds. Mm-hmm. He retired maybe when I was like 10, mm-hmm. 9 or 10, and he's been doing sort of a on again, off again retirement. Mm-hmm. It's just, there's no blueprints anymore for any of this, for the ways that we parent, the ways that we pastor, for the ways that mm-hmm. we mm-hmm. build community. We're not even building community the way that we used to. And so how mm-hmm. we're just trying to do the best we can with what we've got.
Well, and I think too, like, how do I, as a social worker who's used to doing home visits, like, how do I do this without going in the home?
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, my experience is different because of our mostly geriatric population. Mm-hmm. You know, Medicare, you know, I have patients in their 90s, I have patients in their 100s. And so, like, how do we navigate this? How do we do healthcare when we don't know, you know, how to keep them safe? And then how do I connect with a generation that really is an in-person generation? Like, how do I connect with them through televideo or phone, you know? So I've done a lot of phone calls and, you know, I've experimented with different things. Like, at one point I had the, like, big picture of me on my name tag when we were doing home visits because I had my face covered. And, yeah. And it's just about like really, again, just giving other people grace. Like, they're probably doing the best they can. Yeah. And the best they can may just look different.
Yeah. Yeah. And I loved what you said about that through the sort of the presence of God's grace, we can then draw on that to show grace towards others, and to just mm-hmm. like the grace, the inspiration of God's grace means that we are able to do it in times when we may not be able to otherwise, because we know the grace that's been extended to us. We know mm-hmm. the grace that we experience and feel, and we can be a part of that in someone else's life. It's just remarkable and the coolest thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely, it's a challenge. And I know sometimes, like, I feel like, you know, just again, to clarify, I mess up plenty. And I think that it's all about, like, just understanding that. Yeah. And, you know, as someone zooms by you on the interstate because they apparently forgot how to drive during the pandemic, you know, like, we just have to assume best intentions, that they are on the way to, someone's in labor and they have to go there before the baby is born, you know, or, you know, they have to get to work or they'll lose their job. And so they're in a hurry, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things, just leaving room for grace. And I think if you just let that be your lens, let that be your guiding force as you're making decisions about what others are doing, I think it's really helpful.
Yeah. Assuming best intent, that is a spiritual practice that takes intention and work. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Amen. We actually have that as one of our office norms. So mm-hmm. I'm not working in one of the more traditional work environments that I began my career in. So we have office norms, and one of them is assuming best intent. And I think when you really do pause and take a breath and just assume that that's the best that that person can do right now, I think you're going to be in a much better place. If it's not harming you, then, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Oh,
I love that. It sounds so much, when you say that this isn't like other places you've worked, it sounds so covenantal or however you know that, I should know that I'm a pastor, but like covenant relationship of, we've agreed that this is how we will be in community. And not to say you're not a part if you aren't, or like there's grace and all that, and there's forgiveness and there's a process and all of that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But to that covenant, that holy relationship means we abide by these norms. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's like my new challenge in leadership is, cause I've been a social worker for 3.5 years and I just newly am a supervisor, but to stop and pause and think, first of all, okay, like what is the intent? Like, what are we aiming for here? And so like today, before I just like said, okay, yeah, do it this way. I said, okay, what's our intention? Yeah. And looking through this lens of like, okay, not creating work for work. And then like, what is actually going to provide benefit to this patient on how we, you know, document something or something like that. Like, we want to make sure that, you know, the folks that we need to be accountable to show our work, that they can read it, but that we, in the end, the most important thing is that the work was good and that it was beneficial to that particular patient.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, well, you're doing amazing work, Lena. And this has been lovely spending this time together. Thank you so much for sharing all of this with us. This is fantastic. Yeah,
thank you for having me again. I appreciate it. I appreciate everyone for being patient with the chaos at home. We've now got Arlo, the dog, joining us here on my lap. He's not a lap dog.
Arlo, you're so cute. You probably can't hear me, but oh my gosh. Cute doggo. Just join the chat, everybody. You are missing out.
I know.
Oh, he is so cute. I love his face. Oh,
I'll send us with one funny little story. So for folks, since no one can see him, he's actually a hunting dog that we adopted and we don't hunt. So our oven is a touchscreen oven and they just did an update on it, GE or whatever, and it gobbles when the timer goes off. Well, we didn't know this. So Friday night is pizza night here at our house. I make some dough, we make pizza and the timer goes off and I don't realize it because there's just this gobbling in our house. And poor little Arlo is so confused. He's a pointer. So he's just pointing in the living room, just like one leg up, like in his perfect little, if you think of like a cartoon pointer dog, he's just pointing, trying to figure out where this turkey is. And there was no turkey. It was just that the pizza was done, but he also likes pizza. So you have to be careful. He'll eat your pizza.
He was letting you know that it was time. That
I know. Was the dog's pointing. The pizza must be done.
Like literally quivering, like point
and just he's stuck.
Anyways. Yeah. Oh, he's so cuddly. Oh my
god. He's super cuddly.
Oh my goodness. Well, I think that's a wonderful spot to end our time together. So thank you again, Lena. Thank you everyone for joining us this week. Can't wait to join next week. Tune in again. We'll have another great guest, a great grace guest. I always stumble over that one. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Blessings on the rest of your week. Blessings on the rest of this hour. Blessings on all of it. Take care, everyone. And talk to you next week.